Welcome to the Lutheran Radio Service, History of the Local Congregations of the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. I am Pastor Philip Henning, pastor of Grace Lutheran Church in Burke, South Dakota. This morning we will concentrate our devotion on the book of Genesis, the 22nd chapter, the first 14 verses, where you can read the account of Abraham being asked to sacrifice his son Isaac. In the name of our Lenten sacrifice, dear fellow redeemed, one red strand, that's what was woven into every inch of rope made for the sailing ships in the British Navy of old. The manufacturer had to be sure to weave among all the strands one red strand, so that wherever that rope was cut, red would appear, and the rope would be identified as belonging to His Majesty's fleet. Similarly, one red strand appears throughout the pages of the Bible. Cut God's book wherever you want to, and you will find the blood of Christ the Savior. From the first pages to the last, that book was written to make us wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Not only is this apparent in the New Testament, written after Christ's coming, but also in the Old Testament. One red strand, the promise of the Savior and His blood-bought forgiveness, runs through the Old Testament. Today we see this strand in a father's sacrifice of his son. Of the two people who stand out in the account that we have before us this morning, we start with a father. How much Abraham must have loved his son Isaac. That boy was a miracle baby. Abraham and Sarah had waited for years for him to be born. Finally, when Abraham was 100 years old and Sarah was 90 years old, that baby was born. He came entirely by God's grace. And Isaac was not just an ordinary baby. God had connected with him a special promise. God had told Abraham that this boy would be the forefather of the promised Savior of the world. Can we even imagine how Abraham must have loved his son? One night, God came to Abraham with an important request. Take your son, God said, your only son Isaac, whom you love, he added. And how that must have made Abraham shiver. Go to the region of Moriah, sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about. Parents who have said goodbye to a grown-up child as he headed off to war, not knowing whether they would ever see him again, or parents who have lost a child to death, can imagine somewhat how Abraham must have felt that night. Let's put ourselves into his place. Would we have asked, "Why, Lord?" Not Abraham. Instead, he got up early the next morning and saddled his donkey. He loved his son, but he loved his heavenly father more. What a 3-day journey that must have been. Finally, they reach Mount Moriah, and as father and son climbed, the son had a question. The fire and wood are here, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Can we imagine how Abraham's heart must have jumped? He answered in trust in the Heavenly Father, God Himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering. Abraham believed that if God wanted him to go through with the sacrifice, God would bring his son back from the dead. He told his servants, stay here with the donkey While I and the boy go over there, we will worship, and then we will come back to you." That trust led Abraham to collect the stones and build the altar. Then he laid the wood on the altar. Then he tied his son and laid him on the wood. Finally, he pulled out his knife and stretched his arms in the air to kill his son, his only son, Isaac, whom he loved. He loved that boy dearly, but he loved his God even more. Abraham's sacrifice of Isaac illustrates a truth expressed so beautifully by the Apostle John. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Indeed, the real test of love is in the sacrifice it is willing to make. God's love went to the limit. He might have argued, "Why should I? They aren't worth it." He might have reasoned, "Why bother? They will reject it anyway." Instead, like Abraham, he took his son, his only son, whom he loved more dearly than Abraham could ever love Isaac, and put him on the wooden altar shaped into a cross. There, unlike Abraham, he did not stop, but plunged the soldier's spear into the heart of his miracle baby. All this he did not because he did not love his son, but because he loved us. His love for us would not let us perish in the hell we deserved. His love for us compelled him to give the best he had. It made a loving father sacrifice his only son. Every time we enter a church, our eyes ought to go right up to the cross above the altar to remind us what it cost God to save us. Every time we open that book called the Bible, we ought to remind ourselves of the red strand that runs through it, the blood of God's Son poured out on the cross for us. And every Lenten season, we ought to pause and reflect on what a loving God we have. How could he sacrifice his only son for me? How could he take all my sins on him? How could he take all my sins and load them on his perfect son, his sinless son? How could he then reach down from heaven through his word and sacrament and bring me faith in that son? There's only one answer, which I will never really be able to understand. The answer is because of a father's love, a love such as the world has never seen nor will ever see. From the father, then, we turn to a son, an obedient son. If we had to pick one word to describe Isaac's actions through all of this, what might it be? Wouldn't it have to be the word obedience? He asked only one question. Otherwise, he simply and willingly followed his father's lead. We don't even hear that he struggled against the ropes that bound him on that altar. Willingly, he obeyed his father's directions. Like Isaac, Jesus carried the wood for the sacrifice up the hill. Like Isaac, he climbed Calvary's holy mountain. And all this he did willingly. But unlike Isaac, no substitute was found for Jesus. No ram caught in the thicket. Instead, the Lamb of God nailed on the wood of the accursed tree of the cross. Instead, thank God, the fountain filled with the blood of his sacrifice, in which we lose all our guilty stains. All because of the willing obedience of God's Son. Now comes the question for us. We claim to be God's sons and daughters, gratefully, even proudly so. But can we be described as we have just described Isaac and Jesus? How willing is our obedience? When the Lord ties us up with troubles and diseases and viruses, when things don't go as we have planned, when pain comes and body fails, when loved ones leave or are even taken from us, when jobs are lost and income dwindles, it is still Savior lead, I follow you? Or is it, where are you taking me, and haven't you lost the way? Or even worse, I don't think that you are out there leading me, and if you are, I don't want your leading. Or by the grace of God and faith in our Savior Jesus Christ, do we look at God's great love and the Son's willing obedience and say, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. One red strand woven through all of Scripture. Cut the Bible anywhere, and it bleeds the blood of Jesus, God's Son, the willing sacrifice offered by a loving Father. May our God, for only He can, may He cover our hearts with the pardon this blood brings, and color our lives with the power to sacrifice for Him. Amen. Now to Him who is able, according to the power that is at work within us, to do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine, to Him be the glory in the Church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Please return again next week, as at this same time on this station, we will share with you the glory of the grace of God.